Mark, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
My pleasure, dude. Thank you.
Now, let's get it out there. You were born to toil among trees. You and your brother work at the Aspen Tree Expert Company in Chatham, New Jersey, that was started by your dad in 1976. And so where does this winter rank since that time in terms of tree damage?
Wow, yeah, we've kind of been hit over the head, haven't we? It's been a rough couple of seasons here because, you know, as we all remember, not too long ago, we had Superstorm Sandy run through our zone, and that was a storm of a lifetime, as most people put it. But this year, I think the ice, the snow, and the difficulty to get around have been pretty tough.
In a more typical drier winter, I would conjecture that wind gusts pose the biggest danger to tree limbs. This time around, is the damage primarily due to ice?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. I would say even worse, though, if you can imagine, is a combination of the two. You know, snow loads and ice loads are pretty heavy as they are, and they limit the tree's ability to flex and move, which is critical for them to not fail. Compound that with some wind gusts, and you got a real dangerous scenario.
When you talk about flexing and moving, I envision the evergreens that are best able to do that rather than the deciduous trees that drop their leaves and are likely more brittle.
Yes and no. You know, trees are funny. All trees have a tendency to grow and adapt in their environment, and trees with needles and evergreen growth tend to attract more ice and snow, which means more loading, but their branching structure and their ability to hold those loads is kind of enhanced in their own way over time. So I think it's kind of best understood that if you think of a tree that normally has leaves, like say a maple tree, and we get a real heavy wet snow or ice storm when the leaves are still on those trees, that's when we see the most damage, you know, because they're not ready to hold that kind of load because they typically lose their leaves in the winter before that weather hits.
For those cleaning up afterwards, it's a little too late, but what in general is the value of preventative pruning in the fall?
It's actually huge. It's not just in the fall. We do pruning year-round based on the conditions we see. For us personally, if you're doing just mainly what you would call maintenance pruning, which is like crown cleaning, you know, removing broken limbs, dying limbs or dead limbs, and not really doing big, large live limb removal, you can do it pretty much year-round. There's only a certain period of time in the early spring, late spring, depending on the species, that you really don't want to prune trees too much with live growth, and that's before the leaves are totally mature, and then they do something they call hardening off. And then once that sets in, then you're free to prune again throughout the rest of the year.
And for those doing their own pruning, is it best to take that branch pretty close to the limb?
Smaller cuts tend to be better. So if you have to remove a larger limb, you're better to do it when the tree's as young as possible. If you know that that limb's going to be a problem, like say it's a tree near your house, you know, I wouldn't wait until the limb gets to be three times the size it is now in diameter, because that's just a bigger wound for the tree to try to wall off. We tend to try to make pruning cuts back to what you might call a parent stem or the trunk, and try to get it as close as possible without damaging that parent stem or trunk. And that means there's a part of the tree that basically is called the collar. And that's what separates the limb wood from the trunk wood. You don't want to damage your trunk because that'll turn into a pretty bad injury over time and maybe a huge hollow. So you want to stay outside that, but you don't want to leave a big nub either.
Mark, for those looking for a silver lining, some say a severe winter like this one can knock back pests. In your experience, do you find that the harsher the winter, the better the chance that those pests will not grab a toehold?
Yeah, for sure. There are some really damaging insects and diseases running rampant through the U.S. As far as I understand it, a lot of insects do have a less excitable season, you might say, after a cold winter. You know, it kind of knocks numbers down and helps us in the battle a little bit more than a warm winter would.
For homeowners who lose not only branches but the entire tree, they'll be looking this spring for replacements. Give us some tips on both best and worst trees to replace in terms of durability.
Sure. This is where I would spend a lot of time and energy if I'm a homeowner. I wouldn't just say there's a real easy way to just go out and pick a tree, only because we kind of have a saying in our industry, and it is the right tree in the right place. And what it means is you have to plan for the future. Trees kind of have a really, if they're the right trees, they have a really large lifespan. You know, they'll outlive us for generations if it's the right tree in the right place. So you really want to plan ahead. You want to know how big is it going to get, what kind of situation you could put it in. For example, how much sun does it like? Can it sit in a wet zone? Does it need to be drier? All these little things play a big role in how good the tree is going to be over time, how healthy it'll be.
Having said that, what are some of your picks for either hardiest or most likely to succumb?
I would say in New Jersey, there's a few different zones that we can look at. There's sandy soils, and then there's more clay and so a little bit of loam here and there, which basically means certain species do better in sandy soils, other species don't. I think if you know your area, you can pretty much pick the right species based on what you normally see in the nature around you. When we start bringing stuff in that's really not made for our zones or is thrives as much in our zone, that's when you see more problems, I think. But for storm damage, I think I'm not really a real fan on certain types of quick-growing species like silver maple, things like black locust, a couple other trees come to mind when I think about storm damage. And those are the ones that I see on our clients' houses when bad storms come through. And I say, you know, mental note, don't plant a silver maple next to your house or, you know, a poplar tree or something like that. I would rather go to something a little more sturdy like a white oak or something that tends to do better in these types of environments.
Is it a good rule of thumb to always buy as mature a tree as possible?
No, actually, I probably would say more trees has an easier time being transplanted at a younger age than they do at an older age. You take more care because the root system is more advanced and the tree is already kind of getting set in its ways. And if you transplant it, it's a little more difficult. So you have to deal with a real professional if you want to transplant a big tree or move and purchase a bigger tree. So you're really just paying for time. If you got a little more time on your hands, I would say go with a smaller tree. They're easier to plant, easier to maintain or get them started, and they're cheaper besides.
Lastly, I'd like to talk to you about a related enterprise. Let's call it a passion. You're a 19-time New Jersey tree climbing champion. How did you come to that sport?
Yeah, truth be told, I won this year as well, so that would make me a 20-time New Jersey state champion now and a 3-time world champion.
Well, for those not in, congratulations on that 20th trophy. I used to climb apple trees when I was 8 years old. What's a professional tree climber do?
Yeah, me too, actually. I guess a professional tree climber learns that, you know, if you really want to climb the bigger trees and have a purpose up there and stay safe, you got to first put the proper gear on, and that's where it starts. You know, protection is number one. You know, otherwise you don't have a long, healthy career because you're riddled with injuries or worse if you don't follow the proper guidelines. So that's where it really starts.
So what's the difference between this as a competition versus what a logger would do as a matter of course in his or her work?
Okay, so logging competitions are based around usually just how you run and operate a chainsaw, cutting techniques, things like that. They incorporate a little bit of, axing and sawing that we don't do any of this stuff. Our competitions are strictly about tree climbing, so we're always utilizing ropes. It's more like bridging logging and rock climbing into one event, if you kind of picture that. We're always secured with a rope of some sort whenever we leave height, so we can't have an injury from a fall. And then we don't use chainsaws in the competitions. It's more based on safety, skill, and also about awareness, because there's one part of our event that's very serious, and that's our aerial rescue event. And it's basically you have a scenario that they project, and then they tell you, you know, this is what the problem is. There's a climber, say, 35 feet in the air. This is his injuries. And then you have to address his injuries and then maybe rescue the injured worker and bring him to the ground. And then there's a bunch of judging criteria based on how you do.
Is it also in part a timed event, first to get to the top and then back down?
Yes, it is. It's a time. All the events are timed, but some of them aren't solely based on time. A couple of the events are timed for the idea that fastest one up wins. Some of the events are timed just to say, you have a time limit. If you don't finish in that time limit, then you don't get any more points beyond that time limit.
I'm going to have to toss this to you. I can't tell. Do you think this is best a summer or winter Olympic event?
I would say summer, because it's harder to climb trees in the cold. We do it every year, but it seems to be a lot easier when you can shed some extra clothes and climb with a little bit less weight on you.
You're a 12-month guy. Stay warm in the winter and cooler in the summer. Mark, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Mark Chisholm is a New Jersey certified tree expert. He joins us on NewsWorks tonight.